All right, guys. Last week, we've been doing this series, The Reason I, talking about why we do what we do in church. It's been really, really good. We've gotten tons of positive feedback. And so we've actually made some things because of this. We've got little handouts. Hey, this is why we're baptized. We're going to have some handouts. This is why we give, that kind of stuff. So it's been really healthy. Just one final one this week. We're going to talk about serving. So I need a couple favors. Number one, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Philippians 2. Okay, we're going to be in Philippians 2. We're going to read from that text together. Starting in verse 3, we'll read to about 8. If you have a bulletin, we're going to ask that you would take notes. So you can use this. That's cool. It's got fill in the blank, hardcore. Write them down. There's a pen in the chair in front of you. Or you guys can use our digital notes. And same way that we did with giving, if you open up the camera app on your phone, scan that QR code, it'll take you to our digital notes. I think it's sermon.church.us, something like that. But that is us, and they're super helpful. They're fill in the blank. So let's make sure that that's the right week. It should be the right week. I'm pretty sure I uploaded these, but I'm going to check them with you. How about that? Beautiful. All right. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word. Yep, that's it. Awesome. Sweet. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, then we're going to jump in together. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. And Holy Spirit, we always want to pause in this moment and just invite you into this place. We invite you to come and to fill our pulpit. We pray that you would be our teacher, that you would be our guide, that you would exalt Jesus Christ in our midst, that we would see him more clearly than maybe we ever have, especially today as we talk about his desire to serve, how that should impact us. And so, Lord, we ask all these things in your holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. 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 Well, guys, four reasons that we serve. So because I've got four, we're going to jump right in. And here's the first, and it's kind of the biggest, I'll be honest with you, that we serve because Jesus served us. All right? We serve because Jesus served us. And I just would want to be super clear out of the gate. If you got one thing from the sermon, I want it to be this, that we serve because Jesus served us. The primary reason that we serve, y'all, the reason that serve is part of our church's DNA, the reason that it's in our motto, right? Worship, learn, serve. A couple weeks ago, I said, hey, we're going to add share, right? But the reason it is in our motto is because when we study the life of Jesus Christ, we find out very quickly that he came to do this, right? He came to do this. It's part of his mission. And if it's part of his mission, it's got to be part of our mission as well. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 3. And it says this, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." He says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And I want to highlight verse 6 and 7 there on the screen. "Who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity." Guys, that is saying that Jesus, who's God, chose, like John says, that all things were made through him and by him, that without him nothing was made that has been made. So just think about this. God, Jesus, who made all things, chose to become part of that which he made. He chose to step out of heaven, to step out of glory, to step out of perfection, and to come down and God with us in the flesh, in our struggles, in our failures, to face everything that we face. He made this choice to take the lower position. By the way, that is the definition of service. It's taking the lower position, and Jesus took ours, the lowest of all. In fact, even though he came in the flesh, the Bible says he was without sin, but he took the position of sinners on the cross and chose to die in our place that we might have forgiveness of sins, right? Jesus came to serve us. Right? He came to serve us, and it's a big deal. And it should be hard to grasp, by the way, right? To think about God doing this is hard to understand. I'll be honest, the first disciples didn't get it. When they figured out that Jesus was the Messiah, you know what they wanted to do? They're like, wait, 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 you're God? Oh my gosh, you're the one, you're God with the, you know what we're going to do? We're going to elevate you to the highest thing that we know about on earth. We're going to make you a king. Like, we'll make you a king. And then the disciples are like, and hey, maybe I could sit at your left, and maybe my brother could sit at your right, and we'll all be like, and we'll have these positions of power. And Jesus to them is like, whoa, you don't understand my kingdom. He says this in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. So that's not for me. It's not to have everyone wait on me. He says, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's it. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is why we do it. Because he did it for us. And y'all, I'm just crazy enough to believe that if we're going to be his namesake, if we're going to walk around and call ourselves by his name Christians, then we've got to do the things that he did. Right? And he came to serve. So we have to, if this is not part of your active lifestyle as a Christian, man, then you're missing it. We serve because he served us, okay? Second reason we serve. We serve because God loves us and has called us to love one another with actions and in truth. We serve because God loves us and he has called us to love one another with actions and in truth. So I want to start with the big principle of love. And then I want to work our way down to the practical application. And if we're going to talk about and why we love, we start with 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. Right? We love because God first loved us. That is it. That is what has happened. And that is what the result of what has happened should be. Okay? Because God has loved us, because God has sent his one and only Son for us, because Jesus died in our place, then we therefore are expected to then love others, right? We're expected to love others. This is why Jesus, when he's asked what the greatest commandment is, actually gives two. He attaches a second to it, right? Matthew 22, 37 through 40, when the teachers of the law asked him, Master, what's the greatest of the commandments? He replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. That's the greatest and most important command. Then he says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the love of God should force you to love other people. God loves us. He saves us. Now he expects us to love others. But there's a question. How do we do that? Is it simply enough to just say, I love you? Like, I mean, love you, bro. Love you, sis. Right? I mean, that's cool, right? We just do that. We're golden. I mean, that's Jesus says we're to love one another. So we just walk around and we greet one another. Love you, man. Love you. Great day. Love you. Is that enough? I would ask anybody in a relationship, how's that work out if all you do is say I love you? I heard one of the ladies made comments. Because you know, not very well, right? It's not enough to just say that you love, right? You also have to spend some time listening. Every once in a while, you got to be thoughtful and plan a date or get a thoughtful gift, right? Oh, I remember when you said that one time we were walking past and you mentioned, oh, I like that. And I filed it away and 6 months later, I bought it. She'd be like, oh, you're the best. Write that down, man. Write that down. All right? It's a little harder, you know, you can't use Siri. I use Siri for everything. So when your wife says something, you can't just pull out your phone right there. Hey, Siri, she said. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. You gotta remember. And then when she goes to the bathroom, be like, hey, Siri, remind me in 6 months to buy. It's a little help from your pastor. All right? No, it's not enough just to say that we love somebody because love is a verb. Love is a verb. 1 John 3:17 through 18 says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. In action and in truth. Lip service is not enough. Our love has to be put into action. Love is a verb. So I want you to just write this down, y'all. Serving is a practical, tangible way. Serving is a practical, tangible way to express our love for others. Right? Serving is just it's a practical, tangible way to express our love for others. I want you to listen to how members of our body, of our church, that are committed to serving on a weekly basis, I want you to listen just how their serving has impacted people that have walked through these doors since we've been here. Ready? I'll just throw them up on the screen. Dee said this. She said, I felt very welcome. These are from our welcome cards. Emily said, friendly, welcoming, loved. Ernestine, I really felt welcomed, and I am so glad I came. Chuck, we love the people and the message. Thank you. 2 exclamation marks. I didn't write that. He did. Andre, we enjoyed ourselves. The staff was friendly. Children's church is well put together. The sermon was relevant. And then Maria, I enjoyed it. There seems to be a lot of effort in serving the community. That's what people have said because you guys have taken up the call to serve others. Right? Our love is received by others when it's poured out in practical, tangible ways. When we choose to serve one another. It's a big, big deal. So that's the second reason that we serve. Because God loves us. He's called us to love one another. And we're supposed to do that with actions, not just with words. Number three, guys, we serve because God saved us and gifted us to do so. Okay, we serve because God saved us and gifted us in order to do so. So I'm gonna read on the screen. This is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. But I'm gonna break it up so that we can break it down. Okay? So we serve because God saved us and gifted us. So here's the first part, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. You've heard this verse before. For you are saved by grace through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. So again, God saves us, okay? And God does not save us based on what we do. It's not based on our works. It's based on His grace. And so we are saved by the grace of God by putting our faith in His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, okay? And that is how we are saved. That's how we become children of God, all right? So the question is, well, why does God do that? Right? Apart from just like adopting us into His family so that we can be with Him forever, but there's another secondary reason that why God does that, and that is because He has a plan for your life. Listen, God wants to use you, and He wants to use you to do things that will last. The Bible says a lot of the stuff that we do. The Bible says that like one day it's going to rust, it's going to burn up, it's going to be gone. But listen, there are things that God wants to do through you that will last for eternity, and so God wants to do these things. And so that's you say, why does God save me? Part of why He saves you is found in verse 10. Ready? It says, "For because you're His workmanship, and He's going to do a work in you, created in Christ Jesus." That means you're saved in Jesus, ready, for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for you to do. Okay? So listen, good works don't save you. God saved you by grace through your faith in His Son, Jesus. But as a result of that faith, God now expects you to do good, God-ordained things. That means God planned out things. That means before you were even thought about, God had a plan for your life to use you for eternal purposes. And so God saves you to start using you for the kingdom. Like that's how it works. And you say, well, how does that happen? Like what transpired? Like it just, it's magic? No, it's not magic. Some really cool things happen when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay? So when we come to that saving faith, and y'all, I use that term a lot, but it's important. It's not enough to know Jesus in our head. At some point, somebody once said, you know the difference between heaven and hell? It's 18 inches. That's the average distance from somebody's head to their heart. Right? It's not enough to know about Jesus up here. We have to receive Jesus into our life. We have to say, man, I am a sinner. I need you to save me. Come into my life. Live here. Dwell here. Take control of me. I am yours. It's an exchange, right? When that happens, the Bible says that we are saved. And at that moment, y'all, the Spirit of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, comes into our lives and begins to live in us. It's weird. Things start to happen. Things get a little crazy. Like I remember right after I got saved, I was just driving my car, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me. It wasn't verbal, like, Jason, go left. But I was driving, I was driving, and then all of a sudden, he put this guy on my heart, and like I overwhelmingly just started like I'm now turning. What is going on? It was weird, right? And so I go looking for my friend Jared. He's not at home, so I go to his girlfriend's house, and he's not there. And I was like, man, I got to tell Jared what Jesus has done in me. And so he's not there. Girlfriend's there. Girlfriend's mom is dying of cancer. And I'm like, here's crazy me. I'm all full of Jesus. I'm like, well, can I pray for her? So I just walk in, start praying over people. Like, this is my life now. This is what I do, right? It's just different. And so when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, right? And the Holy Spirit does a lot of things, y'all. The role of the Holy Spirit in your life is so important. The Bible says that he's your teacher. It says that he is your guide. It says that he is the one that empowers you to be a witness for Jesus. That's part of your calling as a follower of Christ, is to tell other people, I found him, right? That's the woman at the well. I found a man who knows everything about me. That's part of the role. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to go talk to people about Jesus. Okay? It's one of the things, if you're not talking to people about Jesus, don't tell me you're walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit actually empowers you to tell people about Jesus, right? So we got a problem, okay? So the Holy Spirit empowers me to do that, but the Holy Spirit also does something. On the day of our spiritual birth, we call that salvation. Jesus said you have to be born again, born of the Spirit. So when we receive Jesus, we are born spiritually alive. And on that spiritual birthday, you're given gifts. Spiritual gifts. That's a whole nother sermon for me to go through all the spiritual gifts. But there's a reason that God gives them to you. Ready? Peter records it. He says this, just as each one has received a gift, he says, use it to, what does that say? Serve others. Ephesians 2:10. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned in advance for you to do. He gifts you to do those things, right? He gifts you to do those things. What I'm saying to you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, it means God has saved you. It means that God is living in you. It means that God has gifted you. And it means that God will empower you to use those gifts to further his kingdom by serving others. All right? One last reason we serve. Y'all, I'm flying. You might get out of church early. Whoa. It's unheard of. I should slow down. I want you guys getting used to it. Last reason we serve. We serve because it's rewarding. We serve because it's rewarding on so many levels. Okay? So let's just start with how it feels. Feels good to help people. Amen? Like, it just feels good. Like, when you make somebody smile, I don't know about you, that lights me up. My whole life, my wife's like, you do too many things. I'm like, I like to make people happy. That's what I do. It makes me feel good. And then she's like, but then you're tired. I'm like, it's fine. We're all going to die. I'll just die early. It's okay. Fine. My hip already hurts. I like, let's get it over with. Come on. Let's go overtime, right? Serving people just brings joy. It really does. So it's good for you emotionally to serve others. Like it does. It brings joy. But it's also good for you spiritually to serve others. Bible's real clear on this. So when we hear about kind of the Word of God, and we hear about the life of God kind of throughout Old Testament and New Testament, it's referred to as water, right? As living water. Yeah? You guys follow me? Okay, so when I signed up to be a pastor, I'm also gonna, like, I kind of got, like, I'm not a doctor, I shouldn't operate on you, but I know a lot of medical things now, so I don't know how that worked out, but there's a thing that happens sometimes when our hearts don't work and they can't pump properly, and if your heart can't pump enough, you get what is called congestive heart failure. And what happens is your heart can't provide basically enough pressure to push all the water through your body that needs to be pushed, the blood, it can't happen. And so what happens then is you just hold water. You hold water. And it can get so bad, like it can actually kill you, okay? You get pounds and pounds and pounds of water. You feel miserable. It's horrible. So they have some pills that can help you get rid of the water. There's pretty much only one way to do that. And you just stand over the bathroom all day long. I mean, like it eventually, you know, that'd be a problem. And so listen, the Bible says that the life of God, right, it refers to it as living water. And if you could imagine, like at times, some of us, and I don't know where you are, maybe you're in the desert and you're just getting a drop of living water at a time, but that'll sustain you. But maybe, man, some of our new believers, I'm watching them, they are drinking living water through a fire hose, y'all. They're like, ah, as much living water as they could take. And they're just, whoa, it is coming inside. And it is amazing to see. You're like, I want that. You guys remember like the joy of your salvation when you first received Jesus and you're like, Jesus, and you couldn't get enough. And so some of them are doing that right now, and it is amazing. Here's what I want to tell you. If you don't have a place for that to flow, all of that life and all those nutrients, they'll do something weird in you. What should bring you life actually starts to turn into something else. You've heard of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet, has all kinds of life pouring into it, but it has no outlet. So there's basically like no living, and there's a little bit, but not much in the Dead Sea at all. And Christians, we become that way too if we don't serve. It is spiritually beneficial for us to serve others because then the life of God comes into us and flows out of us and it blesses others and the world is changed and others are better and we're better and we grow instead of die, right? I said it this way many, many years ago that we're meant to be channels of blessing, not cisterns. It means a cistern was, you dug a big hole in the ground and you just kept water in it. It turns nasty and gross and right. But a channel, it's free flowing, right? And that's what we're meant to be, okay? And this doesn't just work on the individual level, by the way. It works on the level of couples. Life is hard. We do a lot of relational, we call it consultations because we don't like to call ourselves counselors. So we do consultations and then point people off in right directions. But now sometimes, listen, people have to have a season where they're just focused on themselves. Like, man, our marriage, like, it's about to crumble. We gotta do this. Okay. And so that is kind of a crisis. We gotta do this. But what'll happen sometimes is those couples that find themselves in crisis, they just stay in that mode forever and they just keep looking at one another. That's all they do. So they're not pouring out into others. They're just looking at one another. And y'all, if you just stare at your significant other for too long, they start to look weird. They do. You start to see things you shouldn't see. Like, man, you got a lot of pores on your nose. How many hairs do you have? Oh, do you shave? Like, and what happens relationally, something that should be like a two, like something happened, we had a little disagreement. Oh, it's a two, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I love you, you're great. And then we move on. Instead, it's now an eight. And it's like, I'm about to walk out. You need to go to your, like stuff happened. You're like, what happened? Because when you stare at each other too long, weird things start to happen. I've got this illustration. It's probably inappropriate. We're going to tell it anyway, because that's me. Everybody Loves Raymond. Anybody watch Everybody Loves Raymond? So do you remember the board game episode? They're playing a little board game. They're trying to connect romantically. And so, y'all know where I'm going. So Ray wants to connect one way romantically. Deborah wants to connect emotionally. He keeps landing on all the emotional squares. And one of the emotional squares says, stare in your lover's eyes for 3 minutes. And so he just starts looking at her. And of course, she's like all into it, like, oh. And about 30 seconds in, you can kind of see his hand in the background start to go up slowly. And he's raising his watch to try to see how long it's been. And she catches him, and she's like, "What?" And he says, and I love what he says, he's like, I don't think it's working because you're starting to look like the devil. Y'all listen, whether it's you individually or whether it's you as a couple, if you are not serving, all you're going to see, like, stuff just gets weird, man. It gets weird. It turns into things it shouldn't be. We focus on the wrong stuff. You've got to have an outlet. So listen, serving is rewarding. It's good for you emotionally. It's good for you spiritually. But it's not just rewarding here on earth. It's also about rewards in heaven. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 25:40. He says, and the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It sounds weird to talk about rewards in heaven and to say, hey, we should be living such a life that we want that. But it's crazy to me. We live in a culture that is obsessed with winning, right? We are obsessed. Y'all, last political cycle, I saw Christians act like fools because they wanted to win. Like, I'm going to win. I'm going to change it. Like, it didn't work out so well. We lost a bunch of people. Church as a whole, right? It's not about, like we are a culture obsessed with winning, yet when it comes, God like promises rewards in heaven if we do certain things. And when it comes to those things, we're just like clueless. We don't seem to care about that at all. Like, we're winning in the wrong things. You guys follow me? Man, how awesome would it be to be great in the kingdom of God and in the world's eyes they think you're a loser? Let's go. Sign me up for that track. Right? Let people here laugh and mock at me. We get to heaven, they're like, whoa, how did you get to be in charge of all of these things? I'd be like, well, you see, be cool. Be cool. So what do we do with all this? All right, some big things. Number one, the biggest reason we serve is because Jesus served us. And so I just want to say this to you with all my heart, that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. Like, that's where it all starts. Spiritual gifts start here, right? Right? I mean, eternity, it starts here. All of the good things of God start here. You don't get any of that stuff without this. And so the most important thing you could do is become a child of God. And I'm just going to stress this. It is not enough to know about Jesus here. You have to have him here. You have to say, Jesus, come into my life. I receive the gift of grace. I receive the fact that you died for me. I don't feel worthy of that. But man, just come into my life. Save me from my sin. Here is my sin. Here's all my mistakes. And I'm going to take all of your goodness. And the Bible says when we make that exchange, we become a child of God. And so the very first and foremost thing I would say to you is, guys, we have to accept Jesus, okay? It's so important. It's so important. After that, I would challenge you to do this. Make sure you follow his example by serving others. Make sure that you follow his example by serving others. If God in the flesh, if the Messiah took the lowest position, then what are we fighting about? Right? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. By the way, you know the word servant in the New Testament? It means day laborer. So sometimes in church, we like to fight over what we want to do, what we don't want to do. And I'm like, man, where are the day laborers? Where are the people that just show up and go, hey, showing up for work, boss, what do you need? Right? Because that's serving is like, I don't care. Dirty diapers, I'm in. Toilets, I'm in. Floors, you got me. Like, what do you want? Parking lot duty, I'm out there. Let's go. Like, what do you need me to do? Because I am a day laborer in the kingdom of God. I'm earning rewards for heaven. And that's what my life is about. Right? And so I want to challenge you to think about that mindset. If Jesus served you and you're not actively serving others, that's a problem. Now listen. This affects some people. People hear the pastor say something like that, and then I get emails. But pastor, so I probably got somebody at home. I'm going to talk to the camera for a second. Probably got somebody at home, and they are going like, pastor, I can't even make it. I'm not healthy enough to be there. That is okay. You can serve on a prayer team. We send out our prayer requests every week. Yo, we need prayer more than anything else, right? It's what makes all this work. And so like, there is a place that you can serve. And so just because it's not active or it's not doing this, or like, there is a place that everyone in our body can serve. And so we want to challenge you to do that. So if you're not serving and you'd like to be, y'all, there's a QR code up on the screen. And I know we got lots of QR codes. Everything's digital, and we don't have any hand fill out forms. It all goes to a database. We get emails. It's how we make things work and trying to make things seamless. So you can scan that QR code. You could do it now. And what it's going to take you to is just a form, and it has every serving opportunity in our church listed. Do not have to be a member to do some of them. Some of them will require you to be background checked because you're going to be around children or youth. And including some weird ones, you're like, why am I background checked if I'm AV? Because sometimes we have youth serving up there. So anytime there's youth around, you are getting background checked, buddy. That's how it works. And so that is who we are, part of our DNA. But I would love for you to scan that QR code. If you're not actively serving, you're wondering, where can I get plugged in? And we would love to hook you up with a place to do that, okay? I'm going to pray for us, and then we've got a few announcements this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your love for us. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to serve us, to die in our place, to take all of our sin upon your shoulders. Man, we are unworthy, but we are so grateful. And Jesus, out of that gratitude, we choose to serve others. We choose to love others through service. because that is one of the ways you have loved us. God, do a work in us. Call us to it. Help us find a place for everyone that wants to serve, that they could find a place to actively do that, Jesus. We ask that in your holy, your powerful, in your precious name. Amen.